And now, a warrior for the Word of God and the Constitution of the United States, a Marine Corps veteran, a Harvard-trained attorney, Bishop of the Called Churches, and founder and president of STAND. Staying true to America's national destiny, the voice of the awakening, your host, Bishop E.W. Jackson.
And I am he. And let me say right off the bat, folks, I am not afraid of the coronavirus. Frankly, folks, I'm just amazed at the level of hysteria that is being accepted by so many because the mainstream media wants people to think that way. We should not be thinking that way. Forgive me for launching right into that, folks, but I talked to somebody today about an event, and they said, "Well, we don't know whether we're going to have that." And I said, "Oh, really? Well, you know, we're waiting to see where this thing goes." And I think Harvard has told their students, "Don't come back from what is this?" I guess is it spring break? But they're on some kind of break, and they told them, "Don't come back." Look, folks. Right now, there are 650 cases, and by the way, about 100 of those are presumed. They're not confirmed, presumed. About 550 cases, I think, that are documented, 650 presumed cases of coronavirus, and there are 26 deaths. And the virus has been reported in 36 states. But look, there are 20,000 deaths this year from the seasonal flu, 20,000 deaths from the seasonal flu. And folks, 550 Americans, I said, are confirmed to have it. 34 million people have the seasonal flu. 34 million. Why are we going into panic mode? From everything I continue to hear, this virus, it can be deadly. It can be deadly primarily for old people. 80 and over have the greatest susceptibility to it. But it's primarily an opportunistic virus that, of course, does its worst job on people who are already sick. Their immune system is already compromised. They already have problems. But for healthy people, the likelihood is this will present as somewhere around the level of magnitude of a common cold, or maybe a severe cold even, but it will present like a cold. And here again, people are treating this like everybody who contracts it is going to die. We're all going to die. And folks, I really find it disturbing. I really do. And I hope Christians are not buying into this, because you know what? This could lead people to say, well, we shouldn't have any church services. Let's not have any church services until this thing is over. I mean, if you want to bump fists or hit elbows, as I saw people doing at a meeting last night, fine. If that makes you feel better, no problem. I mean, I still shake hands with people. I don't, if they were saying this virus is unlike anything we've ever seen and anybody who contracts it is likely to die, okay, that's a different matter. That's a different matter, okay? Then you know, you take a lot more perhaps extreme precautions, because you know just getting it is probably a death sentence. That's not what this is, even if you get it. 34 million people have the flu. 550 people have the coronavirus. And we're ready to shut the country down. It just doesn't make a bit of sense to me. 2,000 points off the stock market. And, you know, this is interesting, too. I'm looking at a map right now, and it's interesting. Maine has no reported instances of the coronavirus. Neither does West Virginia. Neither does Alabama, Mississippi, or Arkansas, or New Mexico. And then there's a whole set of states in the northwest part of the country that don't seem to have any problems with it, or at least haven't reported any as yet. Montana, North Dakota, Minnesota, South Dakota, Wyoming. So far, in Idaho. So far, no reported cases there. There may be some other small states that I can't quite, it's a little bit unclear. Not quite sure about Maryland or D.C., but anyway, right now, the states I've read for you, the ones that have not reported any cases of it, but folks, I mean, really, I'm disappointed. Maybe I shouldn't be, but I really am disappointed at the level of hysteria. Now, of course, as I always say, people have help because the mainstream media wants to bring down this president. And if they can scare the daylights out of people by convincing everybody that they're going to get the coronavirus and they're going to die, they'll do that. I'm serious. I don't think they care one bit about what happens to the country, the economy, the well-being of Americans. I think what they care about is this is an opportunity to smear this president. In fact, one news reporter said that this could be President Trump's Katrina. And you know what Katrina did to President Bush. I mean, they just smeared him to no end. He's a racist, and he didn't care about black people. And he, you know, when the problems created by Katrina were primarily created by those on the ground in Louisiana who failed to respond appropriately, like this mayor Nagin, who left buses unused and could have been transporting people out of the area and instead left the buses sitting there and a bunch of people got trapped. And as a result, thousands died. I mean, that wasn't President Bush's fault. It just, you know, and I'm not saying mistakes weren't made and you know, but they blame President Bush and it damaged his presidency. He will always be remembered for it, even though I think it was completely unfair. And they're hoping to do something worse to President Trump with this coronavirus. And that's also a sad commentary. It really is that folks, they would rather see misery and pain and death and destruction in our country if that's what it takes to get rid of President Trump. Although I've got news for you folks, they're not going to get rid of President Trump. Because President Trump may be one of the most resilient leaders we've ever seen in the history of the presidency. And I didn't say the most, because we've had presidents go through some very, very trying times. But he may be one of the most resilient presidents we've ever seen, because they just throw everything at him but the kitchen sink. No, they include the kitchen sink. Hit him upside the head with the kitchen sink. And he just shakes it off and keeps going. I mean, you know, So they're not going to get rid of him that way. And they're certainly not going to get rid of us. They're not going to get rid of we who believe in our constitutional republic and believe in freedom and believe in free enterprise and believe in personal responsibility and believe in individual liberty and believe in our First Amendment and religious liberty and believe in the Second Amendment and the right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. They're not going to get rid of us either. We're not going anywhere. If we don't lay down and roll over and quit, if we don't cause something like allow something like this virus to convince us, well, who knows? They may use this stuff to try to convince people not to go out to vote. Of course, it's only going to affect them because right now there's, in fact. Oh, by the way, this is Election Day. This is Election Day in a whole bunch of states across the country, many of whom are states that we have radio stations in. So I'm hoping that I'll hear maybe from some Democrats today who'll tell me how they voted and why. I offer the airwaves to you to tell the world why you voted for your candidate. Back in a moment.
This is Viewpoints with Kirby Anderson.
Has Christianity made a positive impact on Western civilization? Most Christians would wholeheartedly agree with that statement. In the past, atheists have usually pointed to how religion has been abused and misused and rarely acknowledged the contribution of Christianity to society. Richard Dawkins is one of the most prominent new atheists, yet even he has begrudgingly admitted that a belief in God has made a difference. He expressed his fear that the removal of religion would be a bad idea for society because it would give people license to do really bad things. He likens the idea of God to surveillance, or as he puts it, the divine spy camera in the sky. People generally tend to do the right thing when someone is watching them. They tend to do bad things when no one is watching. He does go on to add that the great spy camera theory isn't a good reason for him to believe in God. John Rhys Davies is an actor who has been in Lord of the Rings films, Indiana Jones films, and many others. Recently, he noted that we seem to forget that Christian civilization has made the world a better place. He reminded us that we owe Christianity the greatest debt of thanks that a generation could ever have. Now, you might expect him to say such things since he is the lead actor in the film about St. Patrick. I might mention that I Am Patrick will be shown in theaters later this week. What you may not expect is that he actually describes himself as a rationalist and skeptic. He may not be a Christian, but he can see what so many of us have seen. Christianity has been a positive influence in society. Essentially, Western civilization rests on a Christian foundation, and it is encouraging that even atheists and skeptics can see that. I'm Kirby Anderson, and that's my point of view.
Take Kirby and the Point of View team with you on the go with the Point of View app. Search for Point of View Radio at the Apple or Google Play stores.
8 Days of Hope continues to be the hands and feet of Jesus. The ministry is in need of volunteers as they turn their attention to Nashville. Visit 8daysofhope.com to learn how you can help. Here's 8 Days of Hope President Steve Tiber.
We're looking for people who just want to serve others. You know, you don't have to be super gifted. Every disaster gives an opportunity for a believer to share a glimpse of Jesus Christ. On a moment's notice, your life can change, and you don't know what to do, and all of a sudden you get a knock on your door, and there's a dozen volunteers that have come from all over the country, and homeowners usually, they just start to weep. They're so blown away that volunteers they don't even know would come to their house to help them. That's the hands and feet of Jesus Christ.
Volunteers must be 18 years or older. Food and lodging are provided. Be a part of helping tornado victims in Nashville. Learn more or sign up at 8daysofhope.com.
Back to The Awakening with Bishop E.W. Jackson on American Family Radio.
And we're back. Folks, the Word of God says, be anxious for nothing. Philippians 4:6, be anxious for nothing, but in everything with prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. The Word of God says in Psalm 27, the Lord is my light and my salvation, whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life, of whom shall I be afraid? And the Word of God also says in Psalm 112 that the one who delights himself in the law of the Lord is not afraid of evil tidings. His heart is steadfast, trusting in the Lord. And that ought to be how we respond to this, these prophecies of doom by the likes of AOC. The world's going to end in 12 years. And now, in fact, I'm surprised they haven't tied the coronavirus to climate change. I'm shocked. As a matter of fact, stand by. That'll probably come. Now, you know, we realize something now. There's climate change has in some ways generated a mutation and a virus. Folks, don't put it past them because they know how to knit stuff together in the most irrational, nutty, crazy ways you've ever heard. But none of that applies to us. The Bible says that we're not to fear when we see these things happening, but look up. For our redemption draws near. So praise God. All right. I want to share with you the communist machinations of Bernie Sanders. Let me say unequivocally, unapologetically, and without any sense of trepidation whatsoever, Bernie Sanders is a communist. And if you don't believe me, just listen to the answer that he gave to a young lady who escaped or got out of communist Russia And you tell me what his answer suggests to you. Listen to this.
Hi, Senator. As someone from Russia, a country that was greatly impacted by the negative effects of socialism, what assurances can you offer myself and other people impacted by socialism that democratic socialism will not have the same results?
Good. Thank you for the question, Martha. Martha?
Margaret.
Okay. What happened and existed in the Soviet Union was not socialism. It was authoritarian communism. And communism, whether in Cuba, whether in the Soviet Union, whether in other countries, was marked by totalitarianism, was marked by throwing millions of people into the gulag. Stalinism was about as bad as it got. But right near, you're from Russia. I don't know if you've ever visited Finland. Is Finland, Finland is a neighbor to Russia. They have a very democratic society with strong democratic socialist principles. Everybody in Finland has health care as a right. Their educational system is perhaps the best in the world, and college there is free. They take environmental responsibility very, very seriously. They have one of the lowest rates of childhood poverty in the industrialized world. And you know what? Their voting rate, people who participate in their elections, is a lot higher than it is in the United States. So when we talk about democratic socialism, Margaret, I'm talking about Finland, I'm talking about Denmark, I'm talking about Sweden, I'm talking about countries all over the world who have used their government to try to improve life for working families, not just the people on top.
Well, okay, let's go back to the comment that he made about communist Russia. Because first of all that stuff he said about Finland is a lie. Finland is not a socialist country. In fact, Finland is a capitalist country, free enterprise country, and they are cutting back on all their social service stuff because they found out what any nation that tries that nonsense finds out: they can't afford it. But let's analyze what he said about communist Russia. What he said was communist Russia became a authoritarian. It was authoritarian communism. Now, and folks, let's dissect this. Here's what he's saying. He said communism in these other countries was marked by. He's saying that communism is not inherently bad. The problem was the way they practiced it. Now, that's what he's saying. What he's saying is Finland practiced socialism without authoritarianism, and that's good. But those countries, they practiced it with authoritarianism. That's bad. And then he said that Russia was not a communist country. That's not true. I mean, Russia was not a socialist country. That's not true. Russia was a socialist country. Because, folks, there's not a dime's worth of difference between socialism and communism. Marx and Engels didn't make the distinction. The Vietnam the new unified Vietnam after the Vietnam War calls itself the Socialist Republic of Vietnam. It's a communist country. It's a communist country. The Communist Party USA, I'm talking about the Communist Party USA that exists right here in the United States of America. Check out their website. Guess what their goal is? To make America a socialist country. So these distinctions that he wants to make are lies. And all socialism, communism, Marxism is authoritarian by nature. And the more we see of it in our country, the more authoritarianism we see in our country, because the two go hand in hand. You can't tell people you have too much, somebody else has too little. We're going to take what you have and give it to whom we see fit. And then say, but that's not authoritarianism, that's democracy. No, that's not democracy, that's authoritarianism. Because you are basically engaged in a command redistribution of wealth, and you are basically controlling a command economy in which you decide who gets what when. So but let's face it, it is the nature of Marxism to lie, to deceive. and all this lecture and you know, people cheering. It just goes to show how ignorant people have become. Because the moment he said Russia engaged in, they were an authoritarian communists. And people just cheered like, oh yeah, that's it. That's the man, that's the answer. That's a lie. That's a lie. The implication that they got it wrong because they used authoritarianism. It is authoritarian by nature. Look, Marx posited what he called the dictatorship of the proletariat. What he meant was the dictatorship by those who control the Communist Party. So who are we kidding? And by the way, I want to start taking your calls early again, too. And the number is 888-589-8840. That's 888-589-8840. Now, let's compare that to Joe Biden, who, by the way, is also a socialist. He just hides it a lot better. Now he's hiding it beneath a veneer of incompetence. But nevertheless, he's hiding it as best he can. But I want you to hear what he had to say about communist China. Take a listen.
The reason I'm optimistic here is, look at who we are. I've met virtually every major world leader in my role as vice president and as foreign relations chairman over the last 30 years. And that's not hyperbole. Virtually everyone. I don't know a single solitary one who would not change places with the problems the president of the United States has versus the problems they have. China is going to eat our lunch? Come on, man. They can't even figure out how to deal with the fact that they have this great division between the China Sea and the mountains in the east, I mean in the west. They can't figure out how they're going to deal with the corruption that exists within the system. I mean, they're not bad folks, but guess what? They're not competition for us.
They're not bad folks. They're not bad folks. Notice, he never mentioned anything about them being a communist dictatorship. And when he mentioned the corruption, you mean like the corruption that got his son a $1.5 billion deal? Like that kind of corruption? They're not bad folks. They're no competition to us. They're not a problem. Yeah, well, when you got a 1 billion people in a nation that is controlled by a communist dictatorship, and can have an army as large as it wants to have, essentially, because, you know, in communism, they'll starve people. They'll do whatever they'll kill people if necessary in order to have the resources that they need to maintain that authoritarian government. You better believe they're competition to us. You better believe they're a threat to us. And I'm not saying we ought to be seeking to go to war with China. Don't get me wrong. I'm not suggesting that. But I'm saying we ought not fool ourselves about the fact that China is our most dangerous adversary in the world today. And anybody who doesn't understand that, like Joe Biden, for example, shouldn't be allowed to get anywhere near the presidency. And we certainly shouldn't allow Joe Biden to get anywhere near the presidency. We shouldn't allow Bernie Sanders to get anywhere near the presidency, because Bernie Sanders would probably end up being the puppet of communist China, because, I mean, after all, they're the biggest communist government in the world today. And since he's a communist, I think he would feel a certain level of loyalty to them. That's right. And I am not mincing words, not a bit, because I believe that with all my heart. Bernie Sanders is a communist. He believes in Marxist communism. He knows it in his heart, but he won't tell people that because he can't. Let me just say, folks, here's what Bernie Sanders said after he came back from the Soviet Union. There are a lot of things they do better than we do. In fact, they're quite impressive. Subway systems in Moscow cost only 5 kopecks or 7 cents. They're faster, they're cleaner, they're more attractive, they're more efficient than any in the U.S. and cheap. Yeah, thanks, Bernie. They make the trains run on time. We'll be back.
It's my turn.
Here is your host for My Turn, Don Wildman.
Do you remember the parable of the three men who were given different amounts of talents? I want to bring it up to date just a little bit. Let's say that one man received $1,000, One man $2,000 and the other man $5,000. Now, let's look at them. What kind of person was the man who was given $1,000? He was the fellow who hid the sum in the ground, you recall. What kind of person was he? Well, he was the kind of person who would do nothing. It wasn't that he could not do anything, but that he would not. It wasn't a lack of resources that hindered him, but a selfish and negative attitude. He could have done lots of beneficial things with the amount he was given, but he did nothing. True, he wasn't given as much as the other two fellows, but he was given something. His problem was not that he wasn't given much, but that he refused to use what he'd been given. He failed to realize one of life's truest and most elementary principles, that what he had wasn't given to him to keep, but to use. Whatever talents, abilities, and wealth our Creator has given us, however small, have been given to us to use, not to keep to ourselves. This man was the type of person who never gives to a church, to the United Fund, or to any cause of common good. The members of his community could never count on his support in any worthwhile project. Why was it that he refused to use what he had been given? He answered that question. "I was afraid you would rob me of what I had earned," he said. You see, he was judging his master and other people by his own motives. That is what he personally would have done. He was afraid that someone else might benefit from his labors, and he wasn't for helping anyone else, even the one who helped him. Now, what kind of person was a man who was given $5,000? He represents that small number of people who have been given many talents and uses them wisely. Very few people can identify with him, but there are a few people who can do many things and excel in all of them. They are people of many talents, people who have been given much. Ever so often there comes along a Leonardo da Vinci, a person who can excel as an artist, a military engineer, scientist, and sculptor. He was a rare person, this $5,000 man, who could do many things and do them all equally well. Now finally, what kind of person was the $2,000 man? He was the type of person most of us can be. He didn't have much, but he was willing to use what he did have. He couldn't do everything, but he refused to do nothing. He wasn't willing to let his small amount keep him from making his contribution. The backbone of the good in the world depends on people like this $2,000 person. You see, he had learned that in life it isn't how much you have that counts, but what you do with what you have. The carpenter once said, "Give, and you shall receive." This man knew that by helping others, he helped himself. Use what you have, and it will increase. Don't use what you have. Hide it and hoard it, and you will lose it. So don't despair if you have only been given $2,000. That's all you are responsible for.
This has been My Turn with Don Wildman, a production of the American Family Association.
Back to The Awakening with Bishop E.W. Jackson on American Family Radio.
The number is 888-589-8840. I'm going to come right to your calls in a second. But you know, folks, I have to say, you know, I feel kind of stupid right now because here I was evaluating the Soviet Union based on the gulags, the starvation, the breadlines, the summary executions, the labor camps, the utter police state and oppression of its people with no free speech rights. Here I was thinking that that stuff was important, and I missed the most important thing. They had excellent subways. Wow. You all forgive me for having my priorities so misplaced. And I'm so glad that we've got people like Bernie Sanders to sort of straighten us out. Come on, think about what's important. Their subways are even nicer than ours. And this guy wants to be president of the United States? I'll tell you something, folks. We can't let that happen. We cannot let that happen. Let's go to your phone calls. I want to see what you all are thinking today. Let's see. Let's go to Brian in Arkansas. Brian, welcome.
Hey, brother. I just wanted to, you know, the what I've been thinking about with this whole Bernie Sanders deal is the people who believe in his way of thinking, if they would take an opportunity, and if I had the money, I'd be more than happy to send them just to go on a short trip to Cuba, Venezuela, one of these places where obviously this socialistic idea is not working, so they could see for themselves. A lot of it is just woeful ignorance, but some of it, you know, obviously stupidity. When it comes to Joe Biden, I cannot believe that the Democratic side of things is so weak that they're actually going to put this guy on the podium. But, hey, I just say let the fireworks go off once he and Trump get together. And the last thing I wanted just to clear up, we talked about when I called in some weeks ago and I said something about, you know, what would it take and our founding fathers and so forth, if they had seen this, would they be taking up arms and so forth? And I do not in any way, shape, form, or fashion want a civil war, another civil war. If anybody knows anything about our first one, it was just a horrific deal. So brutal. Anyway, that's not where I was heading with that, but I appreciate your input on those things, brother. Have a good day.
All right, Brian. Thank you so much. I appreciate that. Folks, none of us wants to see hundreds of thousands of our fellow citizens killed in a violent confrontation. We don't want that. And that's why I've said before, our battle is at the ballot box, and that's where every responsible citizen better head on the first Tuesday in November if you want to save this country. And, of course, we got other battles to fight, I know. But let's keep taking your calls. Let's see. Let's go to Joe in Oklahoma. Joe, welcome.
Thank you, Bishop. Hey, I got a couple of things I wanted to share with you guys. First of all, you're talking about communism and socialism. My wife grew up in Soviet Russia, and I can tell you that communism is the political system, while socialism is the economic system, two sides of the same coin. And Vladimir Lenin himself has said that the goal of socialism is communism. Mm-hmm. And with regard to what Bernie Sanders was saying a while ago, that little clip that you played, excuse me. I was in Finland 3 years ago, and we were driving down the road and got a little hungry, and so we pulled in a little place called Hesburger, which is their version of McDonald's. And here in the U.S., you can buy the little scaled-down nothing burger for $1. And Hesburger in Finland 3 years ago cost me nearly $8. So that's how they pay for all their social programs.
Yeah, and I think they're realizing that there's no free lunch, if I can continue the analogy, there's no free lunch, and that you can't, you know, as Margaret Thatcher said, the problem with socialism is that sooner or later you run out of other people's money. And so, yeah, it just doesn't work no matter which way they try to spin it. Thanks for the call, Joe. We appreciate that. Let's go to Chris. Chris in Texas. Chris, welcome.
Hey, glad to be on the show. I've actually been listening to you for the past few days, and I love your show.
Thank you.
I just want to thank you so much for everything that you've been telling us. I just wanted to ask you, I'm a young father, and I have two beautiful daughters. Out of the realm of, you know, impossibility, because obviously it's not going to happen, what are we likely to expect if something as dramatic as Bernie were to get in the office, what would we expect?
Wow. You know, that is a very powerful question, Chris. In fact, I don't think I have time to do it before break, but after the break, I'm going to go back to a list of things I wrote up one time about what I thought would be the result if the left really got their way in this country. And I'll tell you what, it is a nightmare. It is an ugly, ugly nightmare, because they'd be looking to regulate everything. And first and foremost, our First and Second Amendment rights. I think you would be looking at a situation in which they would try to disarm the population. And I have no doubt that they would take draconian measures to do so, because they would say public safety is at stake. This is a national emergency. And they'd probably try to figure out if they could somehow get some kind of military or law enforcement response to actually try to disarm people. And that's I don't even want to contemplate that. But you could certainly rest assured that churches would be circumscribed in what they can and cannot do and say. I think they would very much like to outlaw churches being able to say within the confines of their own church what the Bible teaches, because Bernie Sanders, in examining Russ Vought, tried to back Russ Vought down for a letter that he had written at Wheaton College. It wasn't even written to the public. It was written at Wheaton College to a Christian audience about the primacy of Jesus Christ as Savior. And Bernie Sanders said, I'm quoting now, there's no place in America for this kind of thinking. Well, that means that churches are in America shouldn't be espousing what the gospel of Jesus Christ teaches. So just two quick things off the top of my head, and I'll try to get the list that I made up some time ago, just thinking through all the implications. But thank you so much for the call. Let's go to Carl in Illinois. Carl, welcome.
Thank you for taking my call, Bishop, and I thank you for your program. And I just wanted to say something that might help the American people understand more about what's going on with the left. And they don't just hate President Trump. They hate America. They literally hate America, and everything that they're doing is calculated to destroy America because America is standing in the way of global communistic takeover. And if Ted Cruz would have won the presidency and he was standing in the way of global communism, they would hate him just as much. And so if we can frame the argument in the fact that the truth, they hate America, and they are intentionally working to destroy America so that they can move forward with global communism, I think it would help people understand that it's not just about President Trump, and that's how dangerous the left is.
Carl, I could not agree with you more. I've made that point in various ways myself. It is ultimately not about him. He's just the primary target right now because he's a champion for those values that they hate. But what they really hate are the deplorables. They hate, you're right, they hate America, and they hate the deplorables in America who are trying to maintain America as a free constitutional republic, because that's simply not what they want. And, you know, and the sad thing about this is, Carl, they are inculcating our children with this hatred in public schools and colleges. And a lot of times they don't even know why they hate the country. They just hate it. They don't have any specifics. Oh, America's unjust. America's sexist. America's racist. America's homophobic. America's Islamophobic. And they just have a whole bunch of labels and stuff. No facts to back up anything. I would love to see a full report on how many Muslims have been mistreated since 9/11 in this country. And I'll guarantee you precious few. And probably in many cases, it has nothing to do with their being Islamic. It just has to do with their being jerks. But you know, you hear the left, oh, the Muslims are being, they're victims and the prejudice and the hatred and, please. Nobody wakes up in the morning thinking about how I hate Muslims. We just want people to honor our Constitution and our way of life. That's all, no matter who they are. Buddhist, Hindu, whatever. Back in a moment.
A feeling is just a feeling. It's not in charge of you.
Christy Straub on Focus on the Family Minute.
How many times a day do I need to hear that? A feeling is just a feeling. It's not in charge of you. Because when we give feelings a name, when we organize and can understand in our little brains or our bigger kid brains what we're feeling, if it's depression, if it's anxiety, if it's fear, if it's sadness, we at least can start to organize, and then we can say, this feeling doesn't get to be in control, and it doesn't get to be in control of our kids either. And that's our part as parents, where we get to come in then and start coaching them on how we handle and manage emotion in a healthy way. We don't just shove it out and dismiss it and not allow it. We do, but we have to look at it first, because right, if we don't, that's where it's going to come out.
Hear more from Christy at familyminute.org.
American Family Studios was started back in 2011 as a way to advance the Christian worldview into an increasingly media-rich culture.
Media is like such a
powerful tool to communicate the gospel. I love writing stories, getting in my office, and just thinking, how can we portray this concept of who God's character is? And to get to use the gifts that God has given me is really a joy.
AmericanFamilyStudios.net. American Family Radio newscasts are now available as a podcast.
I'm Rusty Pugh.
I'm Steve Jordahl.
Didn't catch the full story? Listen to the podcast.
I'm Chris Woodward.
I'm Chad Groening.
Didn't have the radio on at the top of the hour? Listen to the podcast.
I'm Charlie Bunch.
And I'm Fred Jackson.
Get accurate news from a Christian perspective whenever you want it with the American Family News podcast. You can also sign up for our daily news brief. Visit onenewsnow.com.
Maybe you can relate to this. A lot of people think they're stuck with their health plan. It costs too much, or for whatever reason, they just don't like it. But great news, you are not stuck with it. There is a choice. It's called MediShare, and you could save so much. The typical savings for a family is $500 a month. Major difference maker. This is the affordable alternative to health insurance. And just to give you a little more info about MediShare, it's a Christian healthcare sharing ministry. It's worked beautifully for 26 years, has more than 400,000 members, and they've shared over $3 billion of each other's medical bills. So yes, they can help share your needs too. So you're not stuck. There's an excellent alternative. Whether you're single or married, you got a family, MediShare is super flexible. You can choose an option that works for you and start saving lots of money. You can join anytime. They're great to talk to. No pressure. Call 833-44-BIBLE. That's 833-44-BIBLE. 833-44-BIBLE.
Back to the Awakening with Bishop E.W. Jackson on American Family Radio.
Folks, I actually found my list of things that would happen if somebody like a Bernie Sanders became president, or we ultimately went the way the leftists want us to. And I came up, I have a list of 41 things, probably not exhaustive, 41 things that would happen. And I don't have time to read all these because I'll take up time from your calls. And I don't have time to go into the logic of how I get to these things, but I'll just give you two or three. One, for example, arrest and persecution for misgendering people, which is not calling them by the proper pronoun they. Because even now, you know, you can be fired from your job for doing that. And in some localities, you can be fined for doing that. It's considered a hate crime to misgender a person. So that person wants to be called a he and you call him a she, or they want to be called a they. And there's another thing, a say or something like that, don't they have? They made up something. But yeah, that's one. Elimination of the Electoral College. I think that's something that they would try to do, no question about that. I think they would turn the military into a homosexual and transgender tribe. It's clear to me that they want control of institutions. Okay? Check this out. And I believe this, folks. I believe a legal limit on the number of white people who can attend colleges and universities and be law enforcement officers. Because remember, white men are the problem, right? So you have to limit their ability to get into institutions of importance and influence. I know that may seem far-fetched, but let's face it. I don't think we're far from that right now. Elimination of tax exemption for churches and auditing of churches for their discrimination practices against homosexuals, transgenders, etc. And obviously, outlawing all restrictions on abortion. Legalize infanticide up to a certain age. If a child was an intended abortion, you give a certain amount of time that the child could be killed. So, I mean, I came up with 41. I just gave you a smattering. Let's get back to your calls. Let's go to Gina in Texas. Gina, welcome.
Well, oh, thank you so much. I just love your show. I just wanted to ask you a question. I said, how is Sanders or whatever his name is, the socialist running, and Biden, knowing that they're socialists, we're a republic. Our country cannot be changed by the democratically, even if the majority of the people wanted this country to be communist. It cannot be changed. That's why our ancestors left the Constitution as the document to rule, protect our rights. Those two candidates should not be running. Their candidacy is illegal, and anybody that wants socialists in this country cannot have it, because that's what the Republic is backed up by, the Constitution. And we got the Constitution by blood, and we're going to have to defend it by blood. I don't want it, but everybody in their minds have better start thinking that way, because I, for one, don't want to live under anybody's rule. I want God to be the ruler of this country, and think that the people who wrote the Constitution were people who are very familiar with pain, with hunger, with misery, because that's what gave birth to this country, was their pain, their misery. The people we have now wanting to turn this into a socialist is a bunch of young people who are spoiled rotten, don't have a good education thanks to the politics of this country, and we need to start thinking and praying that we have the courage to defend this Constitution the way that it was given birth to.
All right, Gina. Well, we clearly know where you stand, and God bless you. And once again, I hope and trust that it will never be necessary to defend, at least internally, to defend this Constitution against our fellow citizens who want to subvert it or change it into something else. And you're right. It's very difficult to do that by legal means. And I think they would look just like right now. For example, the Electoral College is set forth in the Constitution. So what are they doing? They're trying to enter state pacts that would, in effect, nullify the constitutional system of Electoral College voting. So, you see, that's what they would continue to do. They'd look for ways around the Constitution so that the Constitution becomes of no effect. And, Gina, I say amen to your passion about this. We have got to be prepared to defend this nation and our way of life. I just think that we better first and foremost gear up to do that at the ballot box. No more of this stuff. Half the Christians aren't registered, and half of those who are registered don't vote, and all of this Second Amendment people who don't vote. That's got to stop. We need to declare an end to that once and for all. So thank you for the call. Wow, you've really been patient. Chuck in North Carolina. Chuck, welcome.
Thank you, Bishop. Just to follow up on your last call, I want to thank God for you. Thank God for your show, for your knowledge of history, obeying God's call on you to shed light on the truth. And one of the breaks previous, Don Wildman's commentary, is just a confirmation, you know, that God uses all of us differently. And I thank God for how he's using you and your boldness to call things what they are, Bishop. And I'm glad I found your show, and I appreciate you.
Thank you, sir. Appreciate that very much, man. Thank you very much. Let's go to Deborah. Deborah in Texas, welcome.
Bishop Jackson, thank you for taking my call. And if you and Mrs. Jackson ever pastor a church, I'd like to know, because I'm looking for one. What I called about is the coronavirus that allegedly, according to news reports, took the lives of those 14 precious people in a nursing home in Kirkland, Washington.
Mm-hmm.
People need to realize that not everyone in a nursing home is elderly and or with underlying conditions. I am acquainted with nursing homes, and I wish that the state of Washington would go in and look at that nursing home, investigate the nursing home. I'm not casting blame, but it seems very odd to me that 14 deaths should be out of that one nursing home. There are good people that work in nursing homes, and there are other kinds, and that raised a red flag for me when I first heard it. And I would just say to people who have a loved one in a nursing home, and I told two friends of mine who had their mothers in very expensive facilities, you have to check on your mom. You don't know who's working around your mom. And both of them told me later, shortly thereafter, that they had to hire outside people because their mothers were not being taken care of properly.
Wow.
I had the state in four times and the sheriff in once where my mom was. And as I said earlier, there are good people there, but then you can't balance that out with people who are neglectful or even mm-hmm. abusive in some cases.
Deborah, listen, thank you so much for the call. You are absolutely right. I hadn't thought about that, but you're right. That is highly unusual to see that concentration of deaths in one place. And you are right about nursing homes. My father was in a nursing home for about 10 years, and I lived right near the nursing home and visited my father every day. And as a member of my church, worked in that nursing home and told me, just recently told me, and my father passed away now in 2002, so it's been a while since my father's been gone, but told me, said, you know, everybody knew you, and they knew to treat Mr. Jackson well because they knew you were coming. So I said, really? She said, oh, yeah, they talked about it. They said, his son will be in here shortly. You make sure everything is right with him. So you are absolutely right about that, Deborah. We need to be vigilant about our loved ones. And that's probably something that Washington nursing home that had 14 people die needs to be looked into. Okay, thank you for the call, Deborah. Let's go to Wesley in Georgia. Wesley, welcome.
Hey, Bishop.
Hey,
Bishop, thanks. Briefly, first, I just want to say how much the Grace series this year and your sermons has been a blessing. The Faith series last year very much was, and I'm a couple behind you guys because I listen to other pastors too, but also I listen to your sermons several times to make sure I don't miss anything and really try to study them. So I just want to say that first. But
thank you, Wesley.
Also, I read an article Sunday by Michael Reagan, and evidently he's an avid dove hunter in California. And I don't know if you're aware, you probably are, but some of the listeners, they have an outrageous 90-round ban on ammunition, a 90-round quota, I should say, on ammunition there in California. And in short, you can only have 90 rounds of ammunition in your possession at your home at any time.
Are you kidding me?
Background, it takes a 3 to 30-day background check just to purchase ammunition. And the store you purchase the ammunition at, that you have to renew every 30 days. And then if you purchase, say you purchase 90 rounds at one store, shoot those up in a couple days, you can only go back to that store and purchase ammunition. So in short, if you and I are on a weekend dove hunt together, and you run out of shotgun shells on the first day, and you live 2 hours away, you have to drive 2 hours away. If I was to give you a box of shotgun shells, then you and I have both committed felony charges. And it is just an outrageous, and you know, it's in California, but this stuff can move. If we let the left get power, this stuff can move to other states and the whole country. So you can look up the article. It's by Michael Reagan. It was called Shooting Down California's ammo ban or ammo law. So
I will check it out, Wesley. Wow. Wesley, thank you so much for the call. We're coming close to the end. Wesley, you just shocked me. I mean, I'm a shooter. And for those of us who shoot, 90 rounds? I can go to the range and shoot up 90 rounds in, I mean, my goodness, 15 to 20 minutes. 90 in your possession at any one time? In fact, folks, I've had, you know, some of these reports where people, you know, go crazy and do evil things with guns. And they say, when they went to his house, they found out he had 1,000 rounds in his house. I thought to myself, well, what's the big deal with that? I mean, that doesn't prove anything. Because those of us who shoot stock up rounds because we know how quickly they go. And you don't want to run out. So, you know, we're using the rounds for target practice. I mean, so 90 rounds? Wow. Well, folks, here again, somebody asked earlier, what do you think it'd be like? That's what it would be like. But folks, remember this. I don't care what they say or do or how much they tout socialism. We're not going to have it in our country, and we cannot be defeated if we will not quit, because we are on God's side.